In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, in all that you have given to us, you ask only one thing in return, that we love you. Grant, O most loving Father, who has given us your only begotten Son, to be our Redeemer and our food for eternal life, the courage to live our convictions and to practice our faith, so that the world will know that Jesus lives. We ask this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a previous time, I had mentioned that we have to have courage to be Catholic. The Eucharist evokes courage. It demands courage. It demands that we stand up for what we believe and we understand what we believe. The days of just going to Mass and receiving communion are over. We are living in a time where Christ's presence needs to be felt. It needs to be understood. You know, I've spoken many times about the need for us to stand up and witness our faith, and we should witness it in 1,000 different ways. The most important is by showing the world that we are not ashamed to be Catholic. You know, we should go into a restaurant, and you know what? I think we should start doing something different from now on when we go to eat in a restaurant. I think we should stand up and pray. Stand up and pray. Let everybody know that you're praying. And then say it out loud. And make a gigantic sign of the cross so they know you're Catholic. And then people say, but Father, I don't know, should we make them feel uncomfortable? You better believe we should make them feel uncomfortable. I'd rather have people feel uncomfortable now than in hell. So why aren't we witnessing our faith? I think every single man should wear a crucifix on his lapel. Every man should have a crucifix, not a cross. Take your crosses and give them to all your Protestant friends. We in the Catholic Church don't hold crosses to be sacred. A cross, you know how many crooks were crucified? How do you know it's not theirs? I don't like crosses. I'll carry mine. Jesus isn't on mine, but I tell you this. He most certainly is on his. And when we enter into the Eucharist, that's what we enter into. We don't enter into the Last Supper. We enter into the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ as it is happening. Jesus sees from the cross you standing there at every Mass. That's the reality of our faith. How many people have no idea that the Mass itself is a portal through time to God's eternity, to His infinite and eternal I Am? They don't even realize that to a certain extent the whole church ceases to exist and they're transported to Calvary. And among them are all of the angels in heaven and all of the souls in purgatory and the saints in heaven. That we are partaking of this great mystery of His passion, death, and resurrection. We must understand this truth. We cannot just have a childlike or a childish view of what the Mass is. Because if we do that, then it is going to remain just that. Oh, well, I don't have the time to go this Sunday. Oh, maybe I shouldn't go. Well, I don't know. I've got a game. Oh, I think more game is more important. I can always go next Sunday. No. We can't do that. We've got to get out of this stupor that the world has put us in to make us think that religion is an appendage, that it's something that we can do if we want to be nice. We have to see the Eucharist as even being more essential than the very air we breathe. If that's the way you see the Eucharist, God bless you because you're right on the mark. But if we see the Eucharist as something that we might use every now and then, we have completely misunderstood it. We have never looked into the eyes of Christ when the priest says, "Behold the body and the blood of Christ," or "the body of Christ," or "the blood of Christ." Do we really, with the mind's eye and with the eye of faith, really know that we are looking into the very face of God? That when we receive him, there is no bread, there is no wine, that it is Jesus himself. And that there must be an awareness of this. We cannot continue as a church, as a people of God, without knowing the Eucharist. Everything else is secondary. As the primordial sacrament, all grace comes from the Blessed Sacrament because Christ is all grace. Everything makes sense if we love and live in, with, and through the Blessed Sacrament. You know, and most people think in this day and age that the government can pull us out of this, that we need to vote for this, and we need to have that. And they think that the government has the answers, and that people that will give you all these pseudo-answers, all these crazy people telling you that they can foretell the future and send them a buck, and they'll tell you who you're going to marry. Why do you think we're doing this? Why do you think society has gone literally nuts? It's because we've lost the truth. Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he is the truth, why are we acting like it? How can we even possibly think that any society or government is going to be able to help us without the living presence within us of Christ Jesus? We're damned. When we look at society, we realize that it has become something that leads people away from peace. If you want peace, come to the Eucharist. If you want hope, see and look into the eyes of Christ in the Eucharist. If you want to love, really love, it can't be done without the Eucharist. There's always imitation love. There's always imitation hope. There's always imitation peace. But if you want peace, if you want hope, and if you want love, it must be in Christ. If it is not, there is no authentic peace, love, or hope. It is Christ Jesus in this most wondrous sacrament of the altar that gives us the very hope to go one day after another. It is this Christ who has the answers to everything. All of the church's teachings revolve around this sacrament. All of the church's goods are received whenever we receive the Lord. Do we understand that when I receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, I receive all of heaven and all of the wealth of the universe? Every good created thing is contained therein. That means I have God and I become a God-bearer. If I am a God-bearer, it means that I have to act a certain way. It means I have to be a certain person. And I will say this, that if you want to be purely and perfectly and completely you, you must be Christ Jesus. Because you become a facet of that magnificent gem of Christ's presence on the earth. You and I have been given this great privilege. Do we see the Eucharist as the privilege that it is? Do we see that Holy Communion that we receive as something to share with the world? I mean, do we really understand that it's him? That we have the desired of the ages. That there is nothing outside of the Eucharist that could even possibly give us any more greater peace and hope and love. Do we really put everything else in its proper perspective? That's why I spoke in previous talks about receiving our Lord as though you were going to die that night. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to realize that every Eucharist is so precious and so important that we should receive him as though he was our last reception. We should pray as though tonight would be the end of our life. We should count all the people in our lives as though it were the last time we would see them. This is what the Eucharist brings to us. And if we live that, we will live lives filled with goodness, filled with richness, and filled with peace.